Day, April the 2nd, 2009. My name is Cheryl Collins. I'm an interviewer with the Veterans Oral History Project through the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. Today I'm speaking with Earl Kane Jr. He served in the U.S. Army between the years of 1964 and 1970 in the Vietnam era. We're located at the Atlantic Heritage Center today, and Earl's service ID number is NG217-80022. Earl, before you joined the service, what were you doing?
I was working at Campbell Soup Headquarters, actually, in Camden. And I had just gotten into computer field with programming and operations and at Campbell Soup Headquarters. And mostly what we worked on were payroll applications back then.
What was your, that was your going to be your profession?
It ended up, yes. I ended up being in computers my entire career.
Okay. Now, when you went into the service, did you enlist?
I enlisted, yes, I enlisted because Vietnam at the time was everything that was on the news, and a number of us enlisted, but we enlisted in the National Guard, the New Jersey Guard, in Burlington, New Jersey was our headquarters there.
And who else did you go into the service with?
It was a number of friends of mine from school and out of school. We all enlisted together.
And why did you select this branch of the service?
Actually, because they did. I just followed them in, and at the time I didn't realize that this particular unit was an infantry unit.
Oh.
So it was, it worked out well, but that's really why I went in, because my friends went in.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about your training and where you ended up and how and why.
Well, I went into active duty in October of 64, and it was at Fort Dix. And basic training is 8 weeks of training, and everybody gets pretty much the same training. One of the things when I was over there was that Bobby Vinton happened to be in at the same time. So he was only a couple barracks over. So everybody, he was a big star, you know, and everybody liked that. But the training was, Army basic training, which is, rifle, all the weaponry, and just the huge difference of civilian life to taking orders every minute of the day is quite a changing. It did me a world of good, actually.
How old were you at this time?
I was 20.
20. So your basic job assignment was what?
Well, it was once I got through basic training, and it was actually a 6 month program, where after basic training you went to what was called advanced infantry training, and then you went to basic unit training. So they trained you on the machinery, like armored personnel carriers, and some of them were heavy weapons, machine guns and bazookas at the time, and grenade launchers, where a lot of the basic training, you didn't get all of that, but in those advanced training courses, and it was all at Fort Dix, and I got out in the spring of 65.
That was out of boot camp.
Out of the full-time training.
Oh.
And then I got, one of the things that happened while I was in there, though, is it was probably about 3 weeks before I was due to get out, and everyone in my company at that time, they were all National Guard at Fort Dix being trained to get back to their infantry units.
Uh-huh.
And I'll never forget a sergeant one night. We were out, it was at night, and we were around the campfire out in the woods at Fort Dix, and he said, "Oh, I have some bad news for you guys. The word's coming down that you're all not going to get out and get back to your units. You're going to be shipped over because you've had all this training. So obviously, I was pretty much scared to death. And it turned out to be just a sergeant having some fun with the kids in his unit.
Yeah.
You know. So I called my unit immediately when I got a chance to get to a phone, and they said, no, that's not true. You're coming back to your unit.
That was just kind of like April Fool.
Oh, yes.
So did you ever go over to Vietnam? Did you leave?
No. Our unit never was called up for Vietnam, but we, you know, we continued to train in an infantry manner for a number of years. But what happened in 1968, the summer of 68, we were, if you remember back then, maybe you don't, but there were a number of riots in a number of locations, and one of them was Newark, New Jersey. And we were activated for the Newark riot.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, since you weren't overseas or on board ship or anything like that, one of our questions would be to ask you, how were your provisions and your food?
Well, I could actually, though, I could relate Newark to that, in a way, being in Newark.
A little war in itself.
I always called it the Battle of Newark. And one of the things that happened really was, and I'm not beating down on the guard or the governor at the time, it was just such a surprise. We literally had no food, very little. So what happened is, I was a squad leader at the time, so I would, all the squad leaders, we would kind of scatter it, you know, not all go at once, but there was an Acme Markets in Newark, about three blocks from, we were stationed in a lake. It was actually a park. It was a lake in a park that was drained, and we were in that lake bottom. Believe it or not,
your own manhole.
Yeah, and but we had a whole division down there. I mean, there was mm-hmm. it was hundreds of soldiers and trucks. Mm-hmm. It was a big lake,
mm-hmm.
and since we didn't have enough food, we were allowed to go out, and we went to the Acme. So if you can imagine, here's 12 soldiers, all with loaded rifles, uh-huh. walking down the street and going into the Acme to get some food. And the manager of the Acme was so happy to see us that he said, just take whatever you want, but please come back often. And just be here for a while.
Uh-huh.
So we were allowed to do that. We were allowed to spend a lot of time. It was good for us because we got snacks and everything else. But you know, talking about provisions, it was really so overwhelming for the ranking guard officials that they uh-huh. didn't have time to plan how to get us food.
And I suppose as manager of the Acme, he thought you were his own protection.
Well, we were, you know, because there was looting and burning and cars set on fire and mm-hmm. a lot of gunfire. We were under fire many times.
From the civilians?
It's hard to believe.
Return fire?
Yes. And some of my friends who were on, you know, overseas, never fired a rifle.
Uh-huh.
You know, here I stayed in Newark, and very often, one of my friends was pinned down by a sniper for about 2 hours, and the only way we got an armored personnel carrier to come in, because they're pretty much armor-proof, bulletproof, but it had to back up. He was in the opening of a store. And, you know, well, I don't blame him. He was afraid to come out, so we had the personnel carrier back up and open the back door, and he got out that way. We didn't have any of our unit actually wounded. We know we did some wounding, honestly, but the only injury was a broken arm.
Uh-huh.
It was 5 days of combat.
Real combat.
Yeah.
What were your emotions? What were you feeling at this time?
Well, it was just disbelief, you know, that you were in New Jersey and in a zone where, you know, we would be out on patrols in the trucks, and there would be cars on fire, and especially the laundromats got hit hard. They took the washing machines, the dryers, the pipes, even stole the copper pipes. We had to go in buildings, high-rise apartments,
mm-hmm.
after snipers, and no one obviously wanted us there. So it was a difficult few days.
Yeah. It's a good thing you were there, though.
Oh, it would have spread, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
To
devastated the city.
Yes.
How did it end?
Well, it ended with the civilians just staying in bed, I guess, and not, you know, the gunfire relaxed. There were a lot of state troopers.
Uh-huh.
And the troopers all had machine guns that were assigned with us. You know, there would be a civilian, you know, a trooper kind of with our trucks as we went out on patrols.
Mm-hmm.
And the population, just the rioters, just quieted down
mm-hmm.
to a point where we were released mm-hmm. to go. But everyone, all of my fellow guardsmen, nobody really had enough clothes with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, nobody thought it would ever last more than a day.
Yeah. Now, when that was over, where were you quartered then?
Well, then we went back to our normal unit in Burlington.
Uh-huh.
And that's Company C, 114th Infantry.
Uh-huh.
And then it was part of the 50th Armored Division.
Mm-hmm.
So we were part of a group that we were the infantry side of, in an armored division, there's the tankers, the guys with the tanks, you know, the tank divisions
mm-hmm.
and companies. And then there's artillery. So they have the big cannons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they fire the cannons. And then, you know, we were the guys who were running around alongside the tanks and with the rifles, so that it makes a complete package, and that's how we would train
uh-huh.
every summer up at it was Camp Drum
uh-huh.
up near the Canadian border. Then we would train with those other two type companies,
uh-huh.
artillery and the tanks.
So basically, you were going for training like every summer.
Every year, yes.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we didn't ever get called up to go overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But
so what did you do, like, with your spare time, for your recreation?
Well,
you were not training.
Well, I was back working at Campbell Soup during that time period,
uh-huh.
as non-military, and you know, learning more about computers. But once a month, we spent a weekend a month either at the armory or at Fort Dix.
Uh-huh.
You know, we did a lot of, because we were an infantry outfit, we did a lot of shooting.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then at that time we moved to new weapons. We started out with the old M1s and we got new rifles. And so there was always training involved with weapons and new grenade launchers.
Uh-huh.
You know, Vietnam brought out a lot of new hardware because of the needs over there. And as that came out, there would always be training on the new weapons.
Mm-hmm. What skills and lessons do you feel that you learned through this service experience?
Well, I think that a big one was just responsibility. That, you know, you all of a sudden realize that you do have a big responsibility, and just getting up in the morning and you know, getting out and being part of a unit you know, learning the weaponry was happened to be interesting to me personally. But you know, skills, I just, you know, you learn to take orders and you learn to give orders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, becoming a squad leader, I had 11 other men that were under me as part of an infantry platoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're a kid, so to speak, you know, you've never really, most don't have to do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You learn that you like, you treat people how you like to be treated.
So there were many life lessons learned there.
Oh, yes.
Did you form any new relationships, new friends?
I did. Many with, especially on the active duty side, because you got to meet people from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, none of them lasted pretty too far beyond the 1970 when I got out, but I would see a number of them up at Camp Drum.
Mm-hmm.
In the summertime, and but no, you know, the friends I had going in are still friends today.
Mm-hmm.
But you become very good friends with people very quickly in there because you're all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time you don't like what you have to do, so you have somebody to complain to.
How do you think that your experiences contribute to your present-day thinking about war and the military service?
I think it probably impacts it tremendously since I wore a uniform. I still question why we have to do things, but I can see what the soldiers feel.
Mm-hmm.
And having now family members that are soldiers, I can relate to them very well.
Mm-hmm. You have any that are involved now in the present war?
It's actually my wife's cousin's children. Two of them are overseas.
Mm-hmm. Are you, aside from the Four Seasons Veterans Organization, are you involved in any other service organizations?
I belong to the Absecon American Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm active in that as that I go to the meetings, but I'm not active from an officer standpoint in there. That's a very well run, and it's a large organization. It's
mm-hmm.
very large in as far as American Legions go.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your most memorable service-related experience.
Well, I guess it was Newark and being shot at, and having to shoot back.
Mm-hmm.
That was...
That's your fellow American.
Yes.
Yes. What was your very proudest day during your service career?
I don't know if it was one, maybe graduating from basic. You know, that mm-hmm. was pretty, it was a relief and you were happy and, the family was there. I guess that was
mm-hmm.
as a single day
mm-hmm.
or a single event.
Are there any anecdotes or stories or things that you'd like to talk about?
Only that I would recommend it to
mm-hmm.
every young person to at least maybe not join for 2 years, but I think the country should have a six-month program for every young person available.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you a better person, I think.
Mm-hmm. But tell me a little bit about, say, your family life. You're obviously married now.
Right.
Did this all occur in relation to your service?
I went in 1964. I got married in 1966,
mm-hmm.
and I had we had one child before I got out.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have three children and three grandchildren. You know, we live in South Jersey in the Smithville area, and adult community, which we love. And our oldest grandchild is only six right now, so the three of them, they're still babies, really. So we love to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, family history has been my love for a number of years, and that led me to finding out that I had an ancestor who fought in the Revolution, the American Revolution. So now I belong to another community of people called the Sons of the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, here we are in Summers Point, and it's the Colonel Richard Summers chapter.
Right. The ironies of life,
yes.
Right? Well, I've enjoyed speaking with you. I'm sure the Library of Congress will appreciate having your story. Is there anything you'd like to add before?
No, I'm just pleased to do it. I hope more of my veteran friends do it.
Yes, it's a good thing. Thank you, Al.
Thank you.